The grace of God. The title of today's preaching is God's love perfected in man. God's love perfected in man. And our scripture reading is taken from the book of 1 Corinthians 13 from 1 to the end. 1 Corinthians 13 from 1 to the end. And it reads, "Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of this is love." Amen. When I started doing the research for the preaching of today, the Lord brought me to this scripture that we just read. And I started meditating on the scripture. And the first thing that caught my eye is the first paragraph there. The Lord is describing to us what love is not. Because sometimes it's easy for us to figure out what something is when we know what that thing is not. The Lord is saying here that though I speak with the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Which means that I can speak in all tongues. But if I don't have love in me, then I'm like a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, so I can prophesy all mysteries, all knowledge, I have faith that can move mountains. But if there is no love, then Bible says, yeah, there's nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, because sometimes, you know, someone can bestow their gift to feed the poor. It may not be fueled by love. It could be that they want to feel good in themselves. Amen? It could be that they want to be seen. So it has to be filled by love. God is saying that even if somebody does this, but it's not in love, that it profits them nothing. And somebody can even give their body to be burned. There are people who want to die as martyrs. They are suicide bombers. It's not fueled by love. God is saying that it profits them nothing. And now I looked at the second paragraph that described what love is. It says that love suffers long and is kind. Isn't that how God is towards us? God is long-suffering towards us. He says that love does not envy. It does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. God does not want the death of a sinner. So God does not rejoice in the iniquity of man. Says that he bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Amen. So today we're going to be looking at several things. One is the evidence that God loves us. What is the evidence that God loves us? We hear it that God loves us, but what is the evidence that God loves us? And then two, how do we love God? How do we love God? And three, what are the benefits of those who love God? Amen. The Bible describes God as being love and that you cannot separate God from love. It is his nature to love. God is love. Out of his love, he created us. Out of his love, he molded you and I in his image. God is love. And is it any wonder that we, as the creation of his hands, that we crave love as well? Well, when we think about a child that just came out of the womb of the mother, what does the child first, what does he or she do when he first comes out? Cries. And what does that cry signify? I need warmth. I need love. I've been in my mother's womb for 9 months. I felt love in my mother's womb. I'm out in this world that is cold. I need love. I need my mother to put her hands around me. And the moment that happens, what happened? The child is pacified. Amen. So the word of God describes love as coming from God. And love is an emotion with vastly differing degrees of intensity. So in my research of what love is, I found that there are four unique love in the scripture. The first one is family love, or storge. This is the type of love a person experiences within a family unit. So most of us, when we're born, or all of us, when we're born, the first type of love that we experience is our parents' love. And then from the love of the parent to the child or the children, you know, we ourselves can also love our parents back. And then there is love between sibling to sibling. Amen. An example of this is the love that Jacob had for his sons and the love of Mary and Martha for Lazarus. Amen. The second type of love is friendship love or brotherly love, which is also called philia. This is a type of love that's displayed between trusted confidant or someone you have a close bond to. I gave the example of a baby that was born. Let's assume that that baby now grows and goes to kindergarten. He meets a friend there. They share something in common. They have a close bond. They play on the playground together. They share their food together. They care for each other. This type of love displays care, respect, and compassion for people. And this is the type of love that believers practice towards one another. A good example of this is seen in the Bible, the love that Jonathan had for David and David for Jonathan. Let's look at the book of 1 Samuel 18, 2 to 3. 1 Samuel 18, 2 to 3. It says, Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. So Jonathan, even in the face of opposition of his father, he loved David. He gave him his robe. He had compassion for David. He knew that Saul was pursuing David, and he forsook all to go to David and tell him that you need to run. My father is about to kill you. And then in John 13:35, the scripture says, by this all we know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Amen. It's interesting when Sister Jumai came, the song she sang was The Steadfast Love of God. And she also mentioned that our love should be pointed up to Christ. We didn't plan it. The Holy Spirit is one. Amen. So God wants us to display love for one another. The third type of love is marriage love or eros. This type of love is designed for marriage between a man and a woman. Within the confines of marriage, it is celebrated and enjoyed as beautiful blessings from God. Let's look at Genesis 29:20. Genesis 29:20. how Jacob served for Rachel. Genesis 29:30 says, so Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. And then let's skip to verse 30. Verse 30 of the same scripture verse. It says, and verse 30, 3:0. Verse 30 says, then Jacob also went into Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah, and he served with Laban still another 7 years. So even though Jacob was deceived by Laban, he didn't look at that. Because of the love that he has for Rachel, he was willing to serve 14 years for the woman that he loves. Amen. Amen. And the highest type of love that we can ever imagine or even experience is the love of God, God's love, which is agape. This type of love is immeasurable. It means that we cannot even quantify it. We cannot measure it. This love, we cannot put a yardstick to it and say this is how long it is or this is how high it is, because that love comes directly from the heart of God. This love is incomparable to any kind of love that we can ever feel. Any love that we've ever experienced, out of the three loves that we've experienced, you know, right from our mother's womb, you know, we felt that parental love. Then we moved on to that friendship love. And then some of us are married. All of that love combined is not equal to the love that God has for us. That love is unconditional. On Friday, Pastor was teaching about the attributes of God. And one of the attributes of God is that God is love. And he says that the love of God is unconditional. That it's not conditioned on what you do for me. It's not a give and take relationship. God loves us regardless of what we do. That love is universal. Amen. And it's sacrificial and pure. It's sacrificial and pure. We can see that when he sent his one and only begotten son, Jesus, to die for us on the cross of Calvary. And that type of love is not concerned with self. It's concerned about the greatest good of another. So God does not love us because he's concerned with his own self. Because God is already self-sufficient. With us praising him, it's for our own good. When we praise God, it's for our own good. He says if we don't praise him, that stones will begin to cry out for him. So God's love is perfect. You cannot add to it. You cannot take away from it. That love is perfect. And it is through that love that he brings about his perfect will in us. The perfect will of God brings it out of us through his love. It is the permissive will of man that makes man to struggle. But the perfect will of God speaks volume of his love. It speaks the heart of God to us, that this is my plan for you. The Bible says, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So the expected end that you and I want is found in the love of Christ. Amen. Let's look at 1 John 4, 8-11. 1 John 4, 8-11. He says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And in this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So why does God love us? Why does the Almighty God love us? Jeremiah 17:9. Despite of our imperfection, because Jeremiah 17:9 describes the heart of man. He says the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God knows that the heart of man is deceitful, yet he loves man. A perfect God loves imperfect being. Let's read Romans 3:10. Romans 3:10. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So a righteous God loves unrighteous being. But we thank God for Jesus, that we are the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. Amen. And let's quickly read Psalm 8:4-5. Psalm 8:4-5. It says, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. So God knows that we are unrighteous beings. God knows that the heart of man is desperately wicked. But yet, he crowns us with glory and with honor. Why does God do that? One, because he is God. Because he is God. We cannot separate God from love. Bible says, it's the I am that I am. Is the lily of the valley. Is the God who is, who was, who will be forever and ever. Is the ancient of days. Is the God that does what he pleases. Another reason why God loves us is because we're his children. He created us in his image. He created us in his image. Psalm 82 verse 6. Psalm 82 verse 6. Psalm 82 verse 6. It says, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. So God is calling you and I gods with a little g, because he created us in his image. Do you know that God loves us the same way that he loves Jesus? The same way that he loves his one and only son is the same way that God loves you and I. Let's look at it in the book of John 15 verse 9. John 15 verse 9. John 15 verse 9 says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. What is Jesus saying to us? He's saying that he loves us the same way that the Father loves him. So the Father passed on the love to Jesus, and Jesus passed it on to us, and expects us to now pass on that love to one another. And in doing that, the love of God is made perfect in man. Let's look at John 14:10. John 14:10. John 14:10 says, do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. So God the Father dwelt in Jesus in order for us to know who the Father is. In order for us to know our Heavenly Father in heaven. God loves us unashamedly. Let's look at Zechariah 2 verse 8. Zechariah 2 verse 8. Zechariah 2 verse 8 says, for thus says the Lord of hosts, he sent me after glory to the nations which plunder you. For he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. So we're all the apple of the eyes of our Lord Jesus Christ. If somebody wants to touch your eyeball, what will you do? Don't you quickly protect it and move your eyes away? Because our eyes are precious to us. It's what we used to see. It is what brings light into our body. And what did God call us? He says that we are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill. It cannot be hidden. That is what God has called us. You know, a few years back, I heard the story of a woman. It must have been maybe 5 years ago or so. And the story just continues to ring a bell in my mind. But it was something that happened many years ago. I think it was in the 90s or so, but you know, I didn't hear it then, but I heard it, you know, like a few years ago. The story was of a woman whose son was murdered. Her son was 20 years old when he was murdered. And in the investigation of who murdered this young man, they found out that it was a young boy, 16-year-old boy. And the mother was so wroth, she was so angry. And she pressed charges for this young man, you know, to be tried as an adult. And of course, you know, he was tried as an adult and he was sent to prison for 25 and a half years. But then the woman, she's a Christian, she began to think about what she did. And as a believer, she knows that whatever happens to us, we must forgive. Regardless of what, we must forgive. So in expressing that forgiveness, she decided to go visit this young man in jail. The man was wondering, why are you here? You know, just killed your only son. And why are you here? Are you here to mock me? But the woman kept going. She didn't stop. She kept going. And each time she went, something chips off in the heart of that young man. And later on, this young boy accepted Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior. And he began to preach in the jail. And when it was time for parole, he was paroled. He served 17 years and he was paroled. And then released into the hand of this woman. And what did she do? She spoke to her landlord and said, there's an apartment next to me. Can you give him this apartment? Because he's got nowhere else to go. And the young man moved into the apartment next to her. And the relationship between them was so strong, even stronger than the one she had with her son that had died. And this young man turned his life around. He went back to school. He proved it to society that he could change. And when I heard that story, it just reminds me of the love of the Father for us. How God the Father gave the best in heaven for us. Jesus to be murdered on the cross of Calvary in order for you and I to have eternity. Because God craves for our attention. God craves for our love. And that is why he displays that love to us without measure. So, what is the evidence that God loves us? The number one evidence is the death of his son on the cross. This is a scripture verse that we all know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And the Father's love was perfected in the Son as a result, and the Son's love was perfected in man. This is the greatest evidence that God loves us. And you know, the Son did not say no. Because of the love that the Son has for the Father, he could not say no. And because of the love that the Son has for mankind, he could not say no. So he came and sacrificed himself and was obedient unto death. What is the other evidence? The second evidence is that God created us. Let's look at Colossians 1:16. Colossians 1:16 says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. So all things are created by a mighty God, and he made us in his own image. He did not make a dog in his image. He did not make a tree in his image. He did not make a fish in the sea in his image. He made you and I in his image. Let's look at 1 John 3:1. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because they did not know him. So he called us his children. This is the highest honor in the universe, to be called the children of the Most High God. So it means that we belong to a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And also, God wants us to be partakers of his glorious kingdom. Brethren, do you know that eternity starts from the moment that we're conceived in our mother's womb? Eternity does not start when somebody dies in the flesh and moves on to glory. We've started living that eternity now. And God wants us to be partakers of that glorious kingdom, that eternity that he has crafted for us. When we, you know, because God wants us to do that, when we think about earth, the way God created earth, earth is like a house of God for mankind. He created the trees, you know, the lush valleys, the rolling mountains, beautiful things around us, and he placed man in the middle of it. So he wants us to start enjoying, being partakers of that glorious kingdom, even right from here on earth. And then another reason is that God sustains our life. Sister Jumai mentioned something about the fact that, you know, we're in the last day of October, that God has kept us. It's not because we know how to keep ourselves. It's not because we know how to eat right or exercise, or we know how to wake up in the morning, or that our alarm woke us up in the morning. Oh, no, it's not. But it's because this God sustains our life. In that same scripture verse that we just read, Colossians 1:16, let's move on to 17. Colossians 1:17. And it says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So he sustains us physically to make sure that we are safe and provided for. Who can live without God? Can anyone live without God? It's impossible. No matter where we go, God's eyes are there. And then he also sustains us spiritually. He did not leave us at the mercy of Satan to buffet us the way he pleases. And that's why he sent his one and only begotten son, Jesus, to help us. And the Holy Spirit of God to indwell in our heart as believers in Christ. And the work of the Holy Spirit, he is the comforter, the guide, the teacher, the all-sustainer, the one that sustains you and I. Hallelujah. And then the fourth evidence is that he gives us the gift of the Spirit. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Which means that God gives some the word of wisdom, another the word of knowledge, faith, the gift of healing, working of miracles, prophecy. For the profit of all. So when somebody is prophesying into our life, they're speaking the mind of God to us. So God is saying that I'm not leaving you without. I'm not leaving you without my presence. So the person that's speaking the heart of God to us, God is using that person to bless us. May we always be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And then finally, he has gone to prepare a place for us. Let's look at John 14:2-3. John 14:2-3. John 14:2-3 says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know, when we go out to evangelize and you tell an unbeliever about the love of God and that God has gone to prepare a place for us, they look at you in a quizzical way because it's hard for the natural man to understand, you know, that. But then in my mind, I'm thinking, well, I mean, we woke up in our home this morning. We slept on our bed this morning and we woke up. What does that mean? It means that God created a spot for us on earth. He created a space for us on earth. So the God that creates that space for us on earth, if he's saying that I'm going to create a place for you, will he not do it? A better place, a new earth, mansions. That will be our testimony in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So knowing what this love is and how this love and understanding the evidence of this love, how must we respond? Because when somebody loves us, it's just natural for us to return that love. Let's think about an earthly king, for example. Let's say you go visit an earthly king, or you know an earthly king. And before you get to the door of the palace, he's already sent his guards to you, that my son, my daughter is at the door. Guards, go attend to her needs. Go attend to his needs. And every time you call upon that earthly king, you call one time, he answers you seven times. Anywhere that you go, he sends his guards to go with you, to help you, to make sure that you are safe. That is an earthly king. How about our Father in heaven? The number one way for us to love God back is with our whole heart, our whole soul, and our whole mind. Everything that we've got. If we love anything else more than God, it has become an idol. Our God is a jealous God. He will not share his glory with any man. Exodus 20 verse 3, Exodus 20 verse 3, which is the fourth commandment, it says, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods before me. So God knows how deep or shallow our love is to him, and he rewards accordingly. When God looked at the heart of David, he says, this is a man after my own heart. He told Samuel, crown him. This is the man after my own heart. So the intensity of our love to God determines what we receive in return. When you love God deeply, will God abandon you? No way. No way. So God sees our heart. He knows to what extent we love him. He knows how passionate our love is towards him. And God does not take it lightly. Because when we reciprocate his love, he has no choice but to answer unto us. And then the number two way of us showing love to God is by obeying him. John 14:15, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So what does that mean? It means that when God says, go to the left, you go to the left. If he says, go to the right, you go to the right. If God says, jump, we jump. It does not matter how illogical that instruction may be. Whatever God tells us to do, we must do. And we do what he loves and hate what he hates. What does God love? God loves holiness, righteousness. Amen. God loves those who love him. God has a universal love for everybody, but then he pays special attention to those who love him. Amen. And God loves those who win souls. They have a special place in heaven for him. And what does God hate? He hates that three-letter word, sin. Sin. He wants us to stay away from sin. Another way for us to love God back is by worshiping and praising him. 1 Chronicles 16:8, he says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. So it is a way of giving honor to whom honor is due when we praise God. Ask Joshua what happened when the wall of Jericho fell. It was through praises. Ask King Jehoshaphat, when he knew that the multitude was coming against him to fight him, what did he do? He started out by telling God, he says, are you not the God in heaven? Do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nation? And then he set singers on the side, those who would praise on the side. And then what happened? He did not have to lift a finger because God fought for him. And let's not even go to David, because we know how David loves God. And then God expects us to love others the way we love ourselves. Let's look at 1 John 4:20-21. It says, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Go back to 20, please. Okay. If a man say, I love God, and hated his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he had seen, how can he love God, whom he had not seen? So there's a saying that, I don't know if it's a proverb or not, but it says, charity begins at home. That if we say that, you know, we love God, but then we don't love our fellow brethren, then how, that, it doesn't even sound right. It doesn't sound right. So our thoughts and deeds and actions towards others must reflect the love of God for us. And he has even called us to love our enemies. How do we love our enemies? By preaching the word of God to them, if given the opportunity. So what are the benefits of loving God? Because we all like benefits. I like benefits. I know when I take on a new job, the first thing that I ask them is, you know, after they tell you what the salary is going to be, what are the benefits that come with the job? Is there healthcare benefits? Do you have 401k? Do you have pension? Do you have employee assistance program? Work from home. It is a benefit. Work from home. So if an earthly employer can give us benefits, how much more our Heavenly Father will give us benefits. And all the benefits that I mentioned, they're in Him. Good health is in Him. Securing our future with 401k or pension or whatever is in Him. If you're a student, you're going to school, you're not sure how you're going to pay for your education, ask Him. It's in Him. The number one benefit is that you will be known by God. When you love God, you will be known by Him. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 8 verse 3. 1 Corinthians 8 verse 3. It says, but if any man love God, the same is known of him. That God, we know us. Out of the billions of people that are on earth, there are millions of people that don't know God. But it's saying that this scripture verse is telling us that if you love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, that God will know you. He will call you and I by name. In the mighty name of Jesus. And then the second benefit is that you will be built up. Let's look at Ephesians 6 verse 10. Ephesians 6 verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So by knowing Him, we become spiritually strong, virile, robust men and women in Christ. We become a formidable force to the enemy. Because God will not leave His loved ones to be buffeted by the enemy. We become a firebrand for Him. And then, number three is, we will deal drastically with sin. Because we know that God hates sin, we deal drastically with sin. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 7:1. 2 Corinthians 7:1. It says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So a person who has a light view of sin certainly does not know God very intimately. Because if somebody knows God, they will want to do the will of God. Because Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey me. So peradventure, if somebody is struggling with a particular sin, all they need to do is love God with all of their heart, all of their soul. And the Holy Spirit will enable them to be able to deal with that sin and conquer it. And number four way of us loving God is that we shall receive answers to our prayers. We all want to receive answers to our prayers. Amen? 1 John 3:22. 1 John 3:22. He says, and whatever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His eyes. So when we call Him, He answers. He says, when we call Him one time, He will answer us seven times. We will receive answers to our prayers. Regardless of how long we've been asking for that thing, He always answers. But adventure, somebody is thinking that I've been praying unto God all this time for this thing. God, it seems like you're not coming through for me. Do you still love me? Yes, He does. And God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. If we can only wait upon Him, He will do it at the right time. And then number five, will we have a fruitful testimony? May we all have fruitful testimonies in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. There will be blessings upon blessings. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2:9. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says that eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has reserved for those who love Him. And that will be our testimony in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And as I round up, the number six way is that a crown is reserved for us. A crown is reserved for us. Let's look at 2 Timothy 4 verse 8. 2 Timothy 4 verse 8. It says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also all them also that love is appearing. So there is no way we can love God and we will not love his appearing. We will not anticipate his appearing. Because we know that his appearing is what every believer had been waiting for. But God rewards those who wait for his appearing by granting them a crown in heaven. May we all wear our crown in the mighty name of Jesus. No one will take our crown from us in the mighty name of Jesus. And it will not just be one crown. It will be many crowns in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So brethren, in conclusion, by us loving God and those around us, the love of the Father is perfected in us. May God's love be perfected in us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. If you can rise up for a few minutes to take a few prayer points. The book of Ephesians 3:17 to 19. Ephesians 3:17 to 19, it says, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and depth, and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. God's prayer for us today is that we will know the depth of his love for us. Because when you know how somebody loves you, how deep their love is to you, you have no choice but to return that love. And we will know exactly what to expect from him because we know his heart. So I want us to pray today that, Lord, help me to know. The prayer you prayed here, help me to know the depth of your love for me, the height of your love for me, the width of your love for me. Lord, we need you. Help us, Lord, to understand how deep that love is. The love that compelled Jesus to die on the cross for us. That sweet love of God for us. That immeasurable love. Help us to understand how wide it is. Father, from today, Lord Jesus, we will never doubt how much you love us. Our eyes in the spirit shall be opened to receive from you, to see you, to understand that depth, that height of that special love that you have for us. And as a result of that love, that we will walk closer to you, Lord, that our heart will seek. We seek you. We seek you. That we love you the same way that you love us. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. And we know that God loved the world, that he gave his one and only begotten Son to die on the cross for us. So God gave us his best. It is our prayer now that, Lord, help me to give you your best. Help me to give you my best. Help me to give you my best. The best that I have, let me express it towards you. In my time, let me express it towards you. In my thoughts, let me express it towards you. Everything that concerns me, Father, let it be towards you, oh God. Because we know the benefits that come as a result of knowing God. We don't want to miss those benefits. As children of God, you have called us to enjoy those benefits, to be partakers of your kingdom. Father, that kingdom will not elude any one of us in the mighty name of Jesus. That on a daily basis, we walk closer to you. We love you more and more and more and more every single day in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. That indeed, when you look down upon us from heaven, you will say, yes, that is my son. That is my daughter that loves me. That will be our testimony in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, everlasting King of glory. Everlasting Father, we come before you today, Lord Jesus, to just thank you for your word. Eternal King of glory, we pray, O Lord, that it will be a word in season, even unto us, O God. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that we will all understand and know the depth of your love for us. Will we see your heart as it truly is? Our eyes will not be clouded about how much you love us, how much you give up for us. And as a result of that, Father, we return the love back unto you. We will honor you with our praises. We will honor you with everything that we've got in the mighty name of Jesus, so that our life will be a true testament of a believer indeed. Thank you, everlasting King of glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen.